The following message was given by Brother Robert Rios and Brother Frank Hong in a church in New York City on the Lord's Day, May 5th, 2019. The title of the message is The Spirit of Reality Being the Reality of the Body of Christ. Scripture verses are John chapter 14, verses 16 to 20, John chapter 4, verse 24, Romans chapter 1, verse 25, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 4.
Thank you for this meeting.
Amen.
Thank you for your speaking.
Amen.
As we get into this portion,
Amen.
I pray that you release the riches of what you have for us.
Amen.
Thank you that we are your body.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that you encourage us through your speaking.
Amen.
This week we would go on with you.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that you wash us in your precious blood.
Amen.
Oh, we are nothing of ourselves.
Amen.
Oh, we need you, Lord.
Amen.
You are our content and reality.
Amen.
So praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For the next 6 weeks, we'll be covering the conference that was held in Charlotte, North Carolina, during the Thanksgiving weekend. This will be 6 weeks covering the subject of the reality of the body of Christ. If you haven't gotten the book and you want to get it, it's in the back. Also, the verses are available every week online and the expanded version. These messages were tremendous. They were really rich, and I will only share for a bit. But I expect that all the members of the body, all you saints, will share what you've enjoyed. Amen. So Brother Frank will follow me. I will start with the matter concerning the Spirit being the Spirit of reality, and our Brother Frank will cover the matter of the Spirit of reality being the reality of the body of Christ, which is a tremendous portion. It was the Lord Jesus himself who coined this phrase, I shouldn't say coined, but who revealed this phrase, the Spirit of reality. He said this three times in the Gospel of John, the Apostle John recorded this. He said in John 14:17, and we read that verse, even the Spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of reality abides with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. In John 15:26, the Lord Jesus said, but when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of reality who proceeds from the Father, he will testify concerning me. Amen. And then in John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of reality, comes, he will guide you into all the reality. For he will not speak from himself, but what he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are coming. I never really understood this portion, especially the Lord speaking in John 16:13. When the Lord said, the Spirit of reality comes, he will guide you. I always thought, you know, the Lord guiding us or leading us, you know, as we go to travel through our, you know, our way in this Christian life, and that his speaking, what he speaks, what he hears, he will speak, is just that he will reveal to us, you know, what's in the Word. But I didn't realize that the essence of what's behind all of this is reality. What is the Spirit? The Spirit, according to John 4:24, the Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, God is Spirit. So Spirit is the essence of what God is. That's what God is. In nature, he is Spirit. And reality, well, according to Romans 1:25, Paul tells us that those who exchange the truth, this word truth there is actually the word reality of God, for the lie. So God himself is reality. And then the note there in Romans 1:25 says, the truth of God is the reality of God. God is true and real. What he is a reality. This very small footnote, but it's very revealing. God is the reality.
Amen.
In this whole universe, Nothing is real. If you take the universe, I often feel bad for those scientists, especially there's one person in my job who doesn't believe in God, who thinks that the New Testament is a myth. And he's very intelligent. He has a PhD. And he's living his life without God. And he thinks that in the entire universe, there's no God. But if there's no God, then what's the sense of the universe? What is the meaning of the universe? Why is the universe here? Might as well not have the universe. But the universe is here. And if it, since it's here, there must be a reality behind this universe. Amen. Couldn't it just have appeared? So God is the reality of this universe. And then the Lord Jesus himself says in John 14:6, I am the way and the reality and the life. So God is the reality, and the Lord Jesus himself is the reality. And then in the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 5:6, the Spirit is he who testifies, because the Spirit is the reality. So the Spirit himself also is the reality. Amen. So by these three verses, we can see that the entire triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, is one divine reality. Amen. He is the true one. The Lord, the Apostle John calls this one the true God, the true one. So only one is real in this whole universe, and that is the triune God. And the Spirit is the Spirit of reality, because the Spirit is the real essence of the triune God. Amen. It is who God is. He is reality. In the New Testament, I never realized this, but it says that the ministry says that the in God's economy, the Spirit has this attribute of reality. I never realized that reality is an attribute. I thought of, love and holiness and glory, all our attributes of God, but I never thought of reality being an attribute of God. Reality is the all-inclusive attribute of the triune God, because reality makes all that the triune God real to us in our experience, amen, according to God's economy. The divine reality includes the Father, Christ, the Son, and all the divine items of the triune God. Amen. In John 16:15, the Lord said, "All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I have said that he receives of mine, and I will declare it to you." So whatever the Father in the Son is, and whatever the Son is realized in the Spirit. And then in 1 John 4:8, the apostle tells us that God the Father is light. And then he says that God the Son is life in his gospel. Brothers and sisters, we cannot experience God as life, Christ as life, and God as light without the Spirit. It's the Spirit who brings us the light of God and brings us the life of Christ. Spirit is the reality of all the divine things. Whatever the triune God is. One, God is Spirit. I already mentioned that, John 4:24. And what are the divine things of the Son? I wrote down a few things here. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that the Lord is the Spirit. Amen. So the Spirit is the Lord himself. John 14 says that he is eternal life. The Lord himself said in John 11:25 that he is the resurrection and the life. Amen. So resurrection is an attribute of the Spirit. Amen. And then wisdom comes to us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 1:30. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, the Lord, freedom, and glory are all come to us by the Spirit. Amen. Right? So these are all attributes that we can enjoy and experience by the Spirit of reality. Then 2 Corinthians, of course, we all know this one, 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us. Amen. Ultimately, the triune God reaches us as the Spirit. Amen. So apart from this spirit of reality in our experience, we cannot have the Trinity or any of the divine attributes. These would be nothing more than terms to us. The reality of the triune God and of all his attributes is the spirit of reality. You know, if we're not experiencing the Lord as a spirit in our daily living, if we're not enjoying the spirit of reality, then the church becomes lifeless. We will just meet here in a way of form and in a way of deadness, you know. But we know that Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the church of the living God. Amen. So praise the Lord, the church is living because we have a living God. Amen. And this living God is conveyed to us through the spirit of reality. Amen. You know, there's this wonderful picture in John chapter 1 where the sun is descending on the lamb. And the ministry says that this lamb signifies that this dove signifies that the lamb is... Wait a minute, where is this? The lamb signifies redemption, sorry. And the dove signifies the life-giving spirit. This indicates that when the life-giving spirit comes on us on the basis of the redemption of Christ, then this becomes reality to us. The Spirit is the central item and blessing of the gospel preached to Abraham. It was this Spirit that God promised would be given to God's chosen ones as the blessing of the good news. So ultimately, this Spirit is the gospel. This Spirit is the one who was promised back in Genesis to Abraham as the blessing to all the nations. If we don't have this Spirit, then we have not received the gospel. You know, in Brooklyn, there's the gospel, the burden, there's a conference going on where the gospel to all the nations is the burden. And I was just reminded by the Lord that in chapter 24:14 of Matthew, the Lord said that this kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom would be preached to all the nation, to all the ethnos, and then the end will come. You know, this gospel of the kingdom is what the Lord is after. We can have the gospel of grace, we can have the gospel of salvation in a lowly way, but we need the gospel of the kingdom. We need the gospel that brings the reality of all the divine reality to us. And then when this happens, then the end will come. So not only must the church be built up, but the gospel must go out to all the nations. I always thought that the nations meant the gospel will go out to all the countries, every individual country. But it actually says they're the nations, the people of the nations. The gospel needs to go out to everyone so that they can also enter into this reality. And this gospel will be a testimony to all the nations of the divine reality. So when we receive the spirit of reality, we receive all the divine reality, including all the riches of the triune God, with all that God is in his fullness, all that Christ is in his riches, and all that he accomplished, obtained, and attained, and also all the promises and the provisions through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord for the spirit of reality. Amen. This spirit of reality is crucial. Praise the Lord. The Lord gave us the spirit of reality. Amen. The Lord said in John 16:13, when he, the spirit of reality, comes, he will guide you into all the reality. This means that everything related to God must be in the Spirit. Spirituality must be in the Holy Spirit. And spiritual reality is something that transcends people. It transcends things. Because only that which is in the Holy Spirit is spiritual reality. Amen. But you know, spiritual things could become lifeless, unspiritual. Once a spiritual thing moves away from the Holy Spirit, it becomes a form that is dead. I was reminded of the church in Sardis, where the Lord told them, the church there, that, you know, they had a name that was living, but they actually were dead. They had a good start. You know, the church was raised up in a good way. They loved the Lord. They were functioning. The gospel was going out. The saints were living. They were even living to the dying, you know, being martyred. But something happened where everything that they were enjoying became a dead form to them because they lost the living reality of Christ, of God. And I also thought about the dead, you know, they mentioned the Dead Sea yesterday in the conference. There's a living flow from Mount Hermon through the Jordan River into the Dead Sea. That living flow is living. It's a picture of the triune God, living as the living water. But when it goes to the Dead Sea, it has no outflow. So, you know, when we receive this divine, the spirit of reality, we can't keep him to ourselves. Yes, we enjoy him and we share him with others so that we don't become the Dead Sea. This spirit needs to keep flowing. The Lord said in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the church of the living God. But this church can become dead if we are not living, moving, and acting in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit needs to be a living, functioning, living and functioning in all the members. I had a few portions that I wanted to read here, but because of time, I'll only read just a small portion. I'll just go to the end here. And this will be a segue to Brother Frank's portion. You know, when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, there was the reality. The Lord Jesus was there as reality, but that reality had not entered into any of the disciples. He had not entered into man. He was present, for Christ himself is reality. But this reality was only among the disciples. It had not yet come into them. Therefore, the Lord told them that it was expedient for them that he go away. And the purpose of his going away was for him to have a change in form, a change from the form of the flesh to the form of the spirit. Amen. Then, as soon as this change had been accomplished, his reality would become the reality of the spirit, and the spirit would become the spirit of reality. Then this spirit of reality would come to abide in the disciples, to be in them the reality of Christ. So because the spirit of reality has come into us, the reality of Christ now abides in us. And Christ is the reality of the triune God. Praise, may the Lord bring us more into this experience of the reality of the spirit. But even more, I think the major burden is that we would see that the reality of the body of Christ is the spirit of reality, which is what our brother Frank will be sharing on.
Hallelujah, saints. We have the spirit of reality. And that spirit of reality lives in our spirit. And that spirit of reality is the reality of the body of Christ. So I would like to share first a little burden and then 2 points. This first burden is concerning the body of Christ. And then the 2 points that I enjoy is one, is the spirit, the reality that is in Jesus is the, or the other way around, the spirit of reality is the reality that is in Jesus. And also the spirit reality is the reality of the body of Christ. In this message, we talk about this word reality a lot. And we may have our concept concerning reality. What is real? Well, what is real to you? Usually to people, what's real is something that you can see, something you can touch, something you can at least get a handle over. But the reality here we're talking about are not something physical. It's not physical reality. Here's the water that I need to drink, and it's very real when I drink it, but this water is not spiritual reality because it's temporary. So, strictly speaking, according to the Bible, the only thing that's real in the whole universe is God himself. Amen. Because he is eternal, he never changes, and he is the only reality. But if he's only, if just God is the reality and he had nothing, and we have nothing to do with God, then what we're talking about here makes no sense, right? God's purpose is that he wants to dispense himself into us. to become our reality. So when we are talking about the body of Christ or the reality of the body of Christ in this next 6 weeks, I hope we're very clear that we're not talking about something physical or something that's real to our feeling, but we are pursuing this wonderful God, this wonderful triune God who has gone through a process of becoming a man. And through the process of death and resurrection, he is now the life-giving spirit. And as the spirit of reality, he has entered into us to be the reality of the body of Christ. So first, concerning the body of Christ, now we're very familiar with this term. We hear this term a lot. This is an aspect of the church. The church is the body of Christ. But this week, as I got into this message, I just have a burden, or the Lord just touched me. I need this body of Christ. Now, we may consider, okay, we're the church, we're the body of Christ. Whether we have that reality or not, maybe we don't care about it that much. But this week, I really have a feeling from the Lord that the Lord really wants us to become, to enter into the reality of the body of Christ. Now, he is the head. You know, with the body, the implication is there is the head. You know, looking at our physical person as an illustration, I have a head and I have a body. The head needs a body to carry out all that it desires and all that it wants to do. And all the riches of the head is expressed through the body. So our God, such a wonderful, rich God, is the same. He wants to be expressed. He needs a group of people who will live him out, who will take him as his life and as their reality, so that all that is in the triune God can be expressed through the body of Christ. This God, this Father, the Father first had an expression in the Son. The Son is the embodiment of the triune God. So when we look at the Lord Jesus, he expresses God. God you cannot see, but through our reading of the Bible and see what the Lord Jesus did and said, we see what God is like. God is love. How do you know that? Well, when you look at the Lord Jesus, you see a picture, a living picture, a living out of the love of God. So the Son is the embodiment of the triune God. He embodies God. He expresses all that God is. But then you say, well, that's too bad. That's nearly 2,000 years ago in history. What do I have to do with this Jesus? Well, the Bible also reveals to us that this Jesus, he did not just came and have a lot of good teachings or live a life of expressing God. He told the disciples before he was going to die on the cross that I have to go, and the Father will send you another comforter, that he may be with you, even the spirit of reality, that he may be in you. I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit. This is John 14:17. Even the spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and shall be in you. And actually, the next verse he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. So if you read John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, you can see on the one hand, the Lord Jesus said, it is expedient that I have to go so that another comforter can be sent to you. And that is the spirit of reality. But that spirit of reality is not something separate from the Lord Jesus. Because in John 14:18, it says, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. So the spirit of reality is the Lord Jesus in another form. He was among the disciples as the reality, but that reality has not yet gotten into the disciples. Therefore, he has to go through death and resurrection to become the life-giving spirit, to become the Spirit of reality so that he can get into us as his disciples to be the reality that's in us. So I think we are all seeking God. We're here meeting as a church, but we don't want the church just be a mere social organization. If we don't have this reality of the Spirit of reality, then the church may become just something outward that we're gathering as a social organization. We need to seek the Lord to bring us, to guide us into the reality of the body of Christ through him as the Spirit of reality. Now, concerning this matter of the reality which is in Jesus, maybe we can read three portions of the words, and then I would like to share a little bit of something that I enjoy. First is Matthew chapter 11, 29. Okay, let's read this verse together. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now in this verse, the Lord Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Right? Learn from me. And let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. This is the Apostle Paul's utterance concerning how do we learn from Christ, or what it is to have a living of Christ, Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Oh, maybe I left out the... Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 says, but you did not so learn Christ. And then verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, as the reality is in Jesus. The Paul in Ephesians 4:20 said, but you did not so learn Christ. That is a very particular phrase. It says learn Christ. It didn't say learn of Christ or learn about Christ. Learn Christ. And then he goes on in verse 21 says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, as the reality is in Jesus. Now this phrase, the reality is in Jesus, it describes the actual condition of Jesus' life of how he lived on the earth, as we read in the four Gospels. How he interacts with people, the things that he said, how he lived. His living was the reality, and that reality was in Jesus. The next portion I would like to read is 1 Peter 2:21. This is from Peter's utterance. First Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered on your behalf, leaving you a model so that you may follow in his steps. So here Peter says, Christ also suffered. Now this suffering does not only refer to his suffering on the cross, but actually all the suffering that he went through in his human life. Christ also suffered on your behalf, leaving you a model that you may follow in his steps. And what does this mean? What does this word model mean? And what does it mean that we may follow him in his steps? And I was very helped by a footnote in the Recovery Version. Now this word model refers to a kind of underwriting copy for the children to, when they learn how to write, they have something underneath, and then they would put paper over and they would trace the letters. This is how they will learn how to write. So in the same way, the Lord Jesus has left us a model that we may follow in his steps. Now, many Christians, including me, have taken this to consider. Well, what would the Lord Jesus do in a certain situation? If I'm face a decision that I have to make, or I have something that I need to do, what would the Lord Jesus have done in that situation? This is, you know, this is usually our consideration of how we may follow the Lord in His steps, right? But I was helped with this footnote to see that what the Lord Jesus desires is not merely that we imitate Him, so that we become a copy, or our living become a copy of His living in an outward way. That we copy, we consider how He lived, and then we try our best to live out, to try to reproduce what He lives. But actually, this is what the Lord Jesus desires, is that He wants to live in us today, that He wants to reproduce His living on the earth, the kind of living that He has on the earth in our living today. How did the Lord Jesus live? Well, you know, you can consider all the outward matters, but the basic principle of how He lives is that He lived absolutely for God. In His living, He lived with God, He lived for God, and He lived in God. God was in His living, and He did everything one with God. The yoke that He referred to in Matthew 11:29 was the will of the Father. He did everything not by His own will, but by the will of the Father. So today, He wants to do the same. He wants to have the same kind of living in our living. Amen. You know, I was pondering over this. You know, we know there's a famous painting, Mona Lisa, right? Painted by Leonardo da Vinci. If I look at that painting and I try my best to try to trace or draw that painting, no matter how good a job I do, it's a fake, right? It's a forgery. You know, maybe it looks exactly the same, but I did not paint it. It's a forgery. It's a fake. Well, but if Leonardo had lived today, you know, somehow he lived today, and today he took that painting, he draw it again, that's not a fake. That's a reproduction of the original copy, because it was drawn by Leonardo da Vinci, right? So I was quite touched with this kind of example. The Lord Jesus not only died, but today He's living as the Spirit of reality. And when you receive the Lord, you have received Him into you. So today He's not expecting you to copy, to try to think how He would react. You know, with that also is very limited, right? Because I currently am a 50-something. The Lord Jesus only lived about 33 and a half years. And He was never married. He didn't have kids. So I'm married. I'm 50-something. And I have 4 kids. Well, how would the Lord, you know, just this morning, my kids are all different. One of my sons, if you ask him 10 questions, you may get an answer back. one other son, he tells you everything, right? So when you're living in your normal daily living, when you're interacting with your spouse, with your sons, when I was asking some question to this one son, and he just practically ignored me, right? I ask him, well, and he does, right away there's something within me, you know, I want to just say, come on, you know? Are you deaf or something? But if I had considered, how would the Lord Jesus answer his son? You know, how would he interact with his son? Well, I have nowhere to find in the Gospels, right? Because the Lord Jesus had never married and He did not have a son. But the same Jesus that lived in the Gospel today is living in me. So he wants to live again in my living. So whenever we're facing a situation, rather than trying to think, how would the Lord Jesus act in that scenario, you can just open to the Lord. Lord, how do you want to react? I'm not that happy, but what about you? Do you have any feeling concerning it? You know, every detail of our daily living, I was putting on a tie, and I wasn't sure what color. Well, I can't try to go back and consider, well, does Jesus love red or does he love blue? You know, what's his favorite color? I don't know. But that same Jesus is living in me today as the Spirit of reality. So when we open to the Lord, have fellowship with the Lord, and, you know, last week I really enjoyed the meeting and encouragement from our brother. From Brother Ed Mark's conference, and he encouraged us to spend personal time with the Lord. You need to spend personal time with this person so you can know what's his like and what his dislikes. You're not only making an appointment with him, but he's living in you as the Spirit of reality. So the more we open to him, we check with him, we discuss with him, we fellowship with him. That is the reality of Jesus living out in your living. And in Galatians 2:20 also says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, you know, is still your life that you're living. I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God who loves me and has given himself for me. So this Lord Jesus today, he is living. He is in us as the Spirit of reality. So this I really enjoy, that we all need to have this kind of living. This kind of living is the reality of the body of Christ. When we all live by the Spirit of reality in our mingled spirit, then we become the reality of the body of Christ. The second point that I enjoy is the Spirit of reality is the spirit or the reality of the body of Christ. So in the body of Christ, you not only have the outward form, but you have a reality, or you can say the life of the body of Christ. And we need to live that life. And I was touched with an utterance that I found in one of the outlines. It says, the life of Christ indwelling us is not a member life, but a body life, a corporate life. Christ is our life, the life of the body, and the mingling spirit is our, and the mingled spirit is our spirit, the corporate spirit of the body. This expression that the life of Christ dwelling in us is not a member life, but a body life. I don't know if you know what that means, but you know, I consider this a little bit. You know, the life that we have and the life that we're living is not an individual member life, right? According to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, we are the body of Christ. Let's read these two verses together. For even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. For also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one spirit. So in the body, there is the life of the body. And this life of the body is the spirit of reality, as the reality of the body of Christ. So when there's more spirit, there's more body or more church. When there's less spirit, there's less church. When there is no spirit, there is no church. We can be gathered here, but if we don't touch the Spirit, there is no church. But also the life that we have and we're living is not a member life, but a body life. Now again, using my body as an illustration, my hand does not have a hand's life or a hand's living. My eyes does not have an eye's life and an eye's living. They all have the same life, and that's a life of my body. They all live in the same life. So as we're living in the reality of the body of Christ, one check is, you know, do you have a feeling that you need one another? Or do you only take this as a policy, you know, a policy? Now, oh, okay, I'm about to do something in the church. I better check with Brother Peter, okay? And if Brother Peter doesn't agree, maybe I'll check with Robert. No, often that's our practice. I want to do something. I'm thinking about doing something anyway. But, you know, I'm in the body, so I need to check with the body. So I take this as kind of a policy. Okay, let me talk with Brother Peter. And Brother Peter, he has some reservation about what I was thinking to do. Then, okay, then I'll check with Brother Robert. If Brother Robert doesn't, I'll check with Brother Ed. We take this as like gaining a permission or approval. That's kind of, I'm trying to live my life, and then I'm just checking with, you know, I think in that many times that's my concept. I may be a hand, I want to do something, but I can't see, right? So I check with Brother Peter. He's the eye, so he can see. Yes, in function, we're different. I may be a hand. I have a certain function. The function is given to us by the same Spirit. But don't forget that the life that we're living is the same life. It's the same body life. So as we're here practicing the church life, living the church life, we need to realize that we need the body. I have to confess, I'm not quite there yet, but it's enlightened for me to see that I need to touch or have the feeling concerning the body. I need to check with these brothers not because I'm trying to get approvals, because genuinely, this is how we should live in the reality of the body of Christ. It's very spontaneous and it's very necessary. For my hand to do anything, whole body has to agree, right? The eyes should feel good about it. The feet should feel good about it. Ear, every member of the body needs to feel good about it. So we need to have this kind of reality. So when we live this way, then you realize that there's a lot of things in you that are not part of the reality of the body of Christ. That might be something from the self. But praise the Lord, we're all here learning. That's why the Lord is bringing us into these messages. We are not there yet, but we do have a little bit of reality. And the Lord wants us to have more of this reality of the body of Christ by walking in our spirit, following our spirit, and give the preeminence and give everything to the Spirit so that the Spirit will be the one living in our living. Amen. So maybe I'll just stop here. Let's sing 243 again. And then the saints in the different language group can go on to your prophesying. And then we can take out the mic. So we hope that you can come forward to share what you've enjoyed. And you may think it's a little bit or nothing, but maybe that's what the body needs. So don't think too much. If there's a feeling within you, something that you've enjoyed from the Lord, just come forward to share your portion with us. Amen.